Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Nice shooting, John. It seems like for an old guy, you're doing pretty good.
You know, Stan, I'm only as old as it appears. And when you see that beagle going glub, 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 you know I'm not that old.
Oh, yeah,
my eyes are still keen. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. Want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted, because that's just the best.
That's the best.
We hope you chuckle a little bit and...
Or
just belly laugh and roll on the floor if you like doing.
And by
this
all
is radio.
Means, yes, that's right. And by all means, do it in English today, because today we're going to look at English. Well, we're going to look at language. Today we're going to visit some theories about evolution
and the change
and
of
the
language.
That's
the
exactly
evolution
right.
of language. How languages change.
Well, for years, John, evolutionists have tended to say, you see all the different languages we have in the world. They must have come from a single one. That seems logical. And if you think about the evolutionist tree of life, where there's amoeba at the bottom, and it
branching out
left,
shooting
right.
A sprout up here.
Here's a new family. Let's start off the horses over here. Let's start off the platypuses for a little short one over there. And, you know, and all these different animals, we have these branches. Well, they thought that's how languages have tended to be looked at, too. But you know what? More and more studies have been done lately by linguists, and they're finding out that you might want to take that tree and put it upside down.
Well, yes and no, Stan.
Okay, why?
In language, the Bible does reveal that there was sort of, well, you don't want to call it a Cambrian explosion of language, but there was sort of it was more like a Babylonian explosion of language.
A big bang,
kablooey. A big noise was heard, and great confusion filled the land.
Ah, well, the origin of barbarian, huh?
Barbarian,
you know, and
from
that
Babylonian.
Actually, the word barbarian comes from the Greeks' attempt to try to describe, like Scandinavian tribes and so forth. When they started talking, they just go, "I don't know what they're saying." They're saying bar.
You know, our wives kind of do that.
Sometimes
you think they're barbarians. Usually, we're trying to watch a football game.
Let's hope they're not listening today. But anyway, we want you to listen and follow along as we talk about a little bit of the evolution of languages and what evidence there are. Now, remember, the evolutionists have tended to put it as a tree with a single...
With lots of continual branching going on for ad infinitum.
Yeah,
However,
a sense, more languages, perhaps.
If you wanted to start, it started with a single language. We know that at least... There may have been some division before the flood, but by the flood, it's back to a single language. You have Noah and his families.
Okay.
And the Bible says...
It wasn't Ook-Ook.
It wasn't Ook-Ook.
Okay.
It was Ham, Sham, Japheth, get over here and clean up the stalls. And then
whatever language that was in, and maybe Hebrew, who knows?
And So basically after that, though, the Bible says that the earth began to repopulate. And humanity became united, and it talks about the Babylonian explosion, the confusion of the languages that occurred. And we find that story found in Genesis chapter 11.
Ah, the Tower of Babel.
And I'll read just a few verses here as we dive into it. It says here that humanity was united, and the Lord came down to the city, into the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they're one people, and they have the same language." Or the Hebrew says, the same lip. And they're all giving God the lip. It's like a spoiled brat. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. So God said, "Come, let us go down there, confuse their lips." Let's give them a twisted lip. So they will not understand one another's speech.
And we, you know, traditionally they've been suggestions like, well, maybe a guy on level 3 was asking for a hammer, and instead he got a saw from a guy on level 2. We don't know exactly how they separated out, or maybe they started throwing things,
like
dropping rocks
or bricks or blocks or something, saying, "Hey, but, your mother too." And they,
whatever happened, apparently they scattered scattered apart into groups of common languages, and they spread off around the face of the earth. And
the
began
more,
to,
more isolated,
to
smaller
develop.
Groups probably became, you had a plethora of languages developing.
Yes.
And there,
yes,
there is
there
an evolution as far
sure.
as there seems to be lots of languages and slight dialects throughout the world that would reflect, you know, various strains. And in that respect, you could say evolution looks good, but there wasn't one central language at first. It seems to be an explosion fairly early on.
Yeah, a creation event, how shall we put it, other than that. Genesis is talking about the beginning of things, and here we have the beginning of languages and nations that were divided by language. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, John, if you look at the evidence, again, that linguists have looked at, instead of seeing a tree coming from a single language, you have a tendency to see something also kind of like a tree upside down.
Or a tree starting to, instead of branching out, starting to branch in and reconnect.
Well, what we have is just the same. Again, if you want to think about the evolutionary tree of life with more and more and more species supposedly evolving, instead we're finding species that are going extinct, fewer and fewer branches. In a sense, what?
Home light chainsaw. Someone's coming and lopping off some of the branches. And so now you only have a few left. We're losing them because there's some person up there lopping off the branches.
Well, they're lopping off the language branches too, because if you look at the total number of languages in the world today, it's getting smaller all the time. Just like species, it's getting smaller and smaller. And in a sense, language is becoming simpler and simpler, not more complex. Mm. Even though you can say the vocabulary is increasing with all the high-tech stuff and Pop-Tarts and whatever else,
just
CDs.
Just think about it, though, for a minute, Stan. When you have, all of a sudden, you have, let's say, the 1700s, the English, the French, and the Spanish are all landing in North America and all in what we'd call the United States.
Right.
And basically, the English won the wars. They became the dominant language.
Yep.
But they weren't the dominant language when they first got here.
Not at all.
There were tons of American Indian tribes.
I'm going to guess hundreds of languages. Yes,
and
dialects.
Sudden, how many solid, consistent American Indian tribal languages do we have left? And how many now
Much fewer.
Are dead?
Yes.
It's fewer.
And even in our own lifetime, John, we have cases where grandmas and grandpas, the last surviving speaker of this ancient language, dies without it passing on, or they make great efforts to try to revive it. The languages die out here.
My dad could understand a little bit of Polish from his grandparents who spoke Polish. By the time it got to me, it was probably down to a few curse words that I was allowed to say, and I forgot them soon in life, you know.
And, you know, there's some assimilation going on in the world today. There's no question that language is, many people are learning English and so forth.
My son is over in Russia right now teaching them the English language. They want to learn English because they want to come to America. We're hoping he doesn't pick up a Russian bride.
You take me to America, please.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, actually, I learned two words in Russian.
Oh, what's that?
Moose and squirrel.
Moose and squirrel? Okay.
Well, I'm just joking. It reminds you of Boris and Natasha.
Oh.
Of Rocky and Bullwinkle. The point is this, though. They don't use the article. The Russian language does not use the article. And they wouldn't say the moose and the squirrel or a moose and a squirrel. They just say moose and squirrel.
Okay. And they probably at one time did, because even if you look at English, the English language 1,000 years ago, if you were to look at a Bible text in English about 1,000 years ago, what English looked like then, you would probably catch maybe 1 out of 10 words that looked something like what they do today. And you could not even come close to imagining what the verse said. They even had genders of nouns.
Ooh.
You know, male, female.
Oh, it
female.
Reminds me of a bad Greek class.
Oh, man.
You know, Greek, we had to learn male and female genders.
Yes,
and you had
neuter,
to learn
neuter.
All, and they had all kinds of tenses and declensions in the Greek language. Classical Greek, where the Bible was written, was much more accurate and
more
specific
precise.
Mm-hmm. We kind of just use a lot more words and pack things together.
And so you have the complexity of ancient languages, and other ancient languages have been noted for their complexity and the verb tenses and forms and so on, as well as the genders and nouns and all of that. So, much more complex and complicated, in some ways more accurate, as you
say. But the English language dropped the male and female genders.
Yes, they did.
And now, you could read, though, if you went back only 500 years,
yes.
You could make out more of the English language. Elizabeth, it's not like Shakespeare, but you could make out much more Elizabethan English.
Evolution is slowing down in languages,
yeah.
But if anything, it's becoming simpler and fewer languages. And that would be that tree upside down again. It's going to fewer.
And, of course, if you want to go into the universal language of business, it is English.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Every country, when they want to deal with big business, deal with it in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
They have translators, whether it be Japanese, Chinese, Russian, they all do business in the English language mm-hmm. on the corporate end.
I see. Well, you see this kind of thing going on, and it's interesting that God, it's a God thing that caused or created all these languages. It was a new supernatural act of God to create. It's not evolution, it's creation. God created
them. But there is a supernatural attempt that's also putting the languages back together in the sense that God began to reunite the languages in Acts chapter 2.
At the Pentecost.
At the Pentecost, God gave them and people from all parts of Cappadocia, Asia Minor, everywhere mm-hmm. started to hear the gospel in their own language.
And this was spoken supposedly by Galilean kind of backwards.
Hits, yeah. Y'all just come and listen to me. And they all heard it in their language in clear.
And they heard it perfectly spoken by people who had not learned the lesson.
They thought they were drunk, but then they said, if they're drunk, then what are we? If we can understand them, you know. So, put a new twist on it. And they weren't drunk, of course. See, what happened, though, I think, Stan, is the gospel. Now God can bring humanity back together because there was something to unite humanity around.
Yes.
Before, humanity was united in rebellion against God, but now God says, you want to unite, the only way you can reunite is through the gospel.
Yes.
And so he reunites the languages of the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ and is drawing, he wants to draw all people unto himself.
Yes.
And he is, right. And therefore he gives the church the gift of languages.
In a sense, he's already giving us a taste of heaven, isn't he? Because by reuniting the nations that separated at the Tower of Babel, Babylon is falling, shall we say, just like the Book of Endings says in the Book of Revelation. And I've got a torpedo text.
Oh, you
I'd
do?
Like to, yes, I
what is it?
Do. And listen, this is in the English language. No. Okay. From Revelation 21 and about verse 24, it says, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And we're talking about New Jerusalem. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. The kings of the earth, the nations, are going to be reunited in the New Jerusalem. And then there's that passage in chapter 7, verse 9, talks about a great multitude that no man could number, people from every nation, kindred, tongue.
Well, they all know a few basic words, and it's not the language of heaven is not Spanish.
Oh, it isn't?
Pardon to our Spanish friends. It's Hebrew, last I checked, because we all know how to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And amen. Those are Hebrew
praise
words, last I checked.
Yahweh is hallelujah. Yeah, and amen. Let it be so.
Let it be so.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing that most languages do a transliteration and don't try to translate those words because they seem to be a little more on the sacred or holy side.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, so God apparently did create the languages, and he will once again unite the world again. That's where the different languages, you know, John, even the word tongue, glossa, in Greek.
Glossa.
Yeah, we got glossolalia, and glossary and these kinds of things from the word tongue. The ancients used to think that you can't say my letters in my language because, like, TH, and Germans can't say TH. You know, they can't do that.
Right,
they don't have the right tongue. So you have a different tongue than I do.
Yeah.
And they used to, that's kind of why we got these words tongue for
tongue
languages.
Tongue-tied. Your tongue is tied right now, isn't it?
No.
The point that we'd like to say is that languages are coming together, mm-hmm. but more importantly, people are coming together because of Jesus Christ. And he's going to do away with all the barriers that he's had to allow to become into erected in rebellion. He allowed them to come to pass. Now he's going to draw us back together mm-hmm. in his Son.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that you will be able to sing the hallelujah chorus with us there in the Sea of Glass.
In the same language.
So tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.